meeting now for part three. And while I'm doing that, I'm working on the edits for Divine Inspiration, the Blasphemy in 3X story. So, yeah, and today was a running around day as well. I had to get groceries. I had to deal with elder daughter taking ACTs today. So it was. It's been kind of a gutted out day. If I had really, you know, if I've learned nothing else, I've learned that if I don't take that walk before 9 o'clock, boy, it's real easy to miss it. The day gets just revved right up, and I go right by. And it's difficult for me to use this to organize my thoughts for the day, to organize my work for the day, if I don't do it until 3 in the afternoon when the day is, well, for the most part, pretty much over. I got the edits off, did a couple of other small things, got dinner in the oven, and it's looking like we might have either a thunderstorm or they're calling for tornado warning today and snow tomorrow. I don't think we're going to get snow. For that matter, I don't think we're going to get a tornado, although there are some pretty big clouds up there. There doesn't seem anything really organized yet. None of the big, tall cauliflower I think of when I think of thunderstorms, tornadoes. Well, speaking of cauliflower, I think I've got a cauliflower in my fridge. I think I'll bake it and have cauliflower with my ham for dinner. Yeah, I really don't need to eat salty ham, but it looks good. What looked better was leg of lamb, but they wanted $50 for a leg of lamb. And it's like, you know, I like lamb a lot. I don't like lamb that much. So that ain't happening. So trundle, trying to get through the walk, get this taken care of, get some blood moving. Yesterday was, when I get tired, I'm almost done. When I get tired, I'll finish rather than take a break in the middle. Yeah, that didn't work out at all. I still wound up going to bed with about 25 or 30 pages left to go. I got those taken care of today, so that was good. There's a lot of sloppiness, and I can't blame this on Ryden's editing either. It's stuff that's original for the most part, and stuff that probably shouldn't be there. There's some stuff that I know shouldn't be there that if I were writing it today, I couldn't put it in, but I'm not taking it out because it's part of the story now. And for whatever it's worth, we'll let it go. I'm just trying to clean up format, trying to clean up sentence structure. There's some really convoluted sentence structure that I am positive did not get recorded that way. Simply because I can't say it aloud. It's that convoluted. Which brings me to a limited, illimitable domain, the other really convoluted story that Tony C. Smith sent. Damn, that's a hard story to read. It reads fine on the page, but breathing while trying to read a 47-page sentence is just a pain in the butt. All right, so I'm exaggerating. It's only like 32 pages. But long, long, long sentences. I have to try to find the subordinate clauses, break at the clause instead of the period. But still, holy crap. That's an ugly story to read. I think it'll be gorgeous when I get it done. But, God. So, it occurred to me that I hadn't dedicated a book yet to my father. At least I don't think I did. I'm trying to remember who I dedicated the second book to. First book was to my wife. second book was to Donald Little. I can't remember who the third book. Oh, no, a fourth book was, a fantasy book was to my Aunt Pat. Was that the third book? Anyway, one of them was my Aunt Patricia. See, now I have to go look them up. I should probably build a file of dedications and who I dedicated which book to. Build a spreadsheet. So I can keep track of it. One of these books was supposed to be dedicated to Philippa Ballantyne. I thought it was Ravenwood because that was the one I was writing while she was going through her hard time. She actually, there's an Easter egg in Double Share for Pip. I'm trying to remember. It seems to me I've got at least one in there for T as well. Oh, yes, of course I do. Because the tramp freighter that couldn't stop but reported the Chernyakhova being adrift was Billy Baddings. So, yeah, that was my nod to T. I'm trying to think. There are so many Easter eggs. Double Share has so many Easter eggs. There are more in Captain's Share. Not quite as many, I don't think. But there are more in Captain's Share. There are Easter eggs all through it. And for a lot of people, they don't mean anything because it's not significant to you. But for example, there are at least three names that are in common across three different friends. And all three friends claim that as their Easter egg. And you know what? They're right. Every one of them. So, three birds, one stone. No waiting. Which reminds me, I was looking through the Grimm's fairy tales. I can't remember why now. I was going to write a short story based on a Grimm's fairy tale. Oh, I do remember why now, yes. There are some of the Grimm's fairy tales that I remember from, like, classic comics. Comic classics? Comic book classics? Whatever that, they take works of literature and turn them into comic books. Not graphic novels, these are American comic books. They had a yellow binding edge. What the heck was it called? Classics Illustrated. I think that's what that was, Classics Illustrated. Anyway, some of them I remember from the old Rocky and Bullwinkle shows, Fractured Fairy Tales. And one of them, in particular, was the little tailor who killed seven with one blow. And it turned out to be seven flies. And he put it on his vest. In the Fractured Fairy Tale, he put it on his vest. And in the actual story, he embroidered it on a girdle, sort of like a belt. I assume it's sort of like a belt. And then paraded around town. He killed seven with one blow. And I thought, it's an interesting story. What was really interesting to me while I was going through the fairy tales, the actual Grimm's stories, is that they're kind of bare. Well, not only are they bare, they're dark. God! They are dark, they are sparse, there's very little in the way of actual, I don't want to say setting, but there's no description, very little description. It's very, you know, the whole seven in one blow, the little tailor story is like four paragraphs long. Maybe it's 10 paragraphs long. It's really short. I mean, really short. And I just, it's like, really? No kidding. I wouldn't have suspected. But, of course, I haven't really looked at the originals. I got a collection of them off from Gutenberg and looked them over. Very interesting content, very interesting stories. Very interesting from the point of view of them being actually kind of source material for so many of today's modern stories, which was why I was looking to see if there were any of them I could steal. I still like the idea that Pat, oh gosh, now I can't think of his name, the Shaughnessy guy, Patrick McLean, thank you. Patrick McLean was banging about using, writing some stories using fairy tale themes. It was at Balticon. It was like 2 years ago now at Balticon. I'm still thinking about that. I need to get into that. I've been having tried some different genres, having played with these writing exercises at the workshop. I'm anxious to try some more exercises. I mean, having to write 3 story starts in a day. Okay, here's your basic setup. Here are the 3 variations, or 4 variations for a couple of days. Go. Oh, and here's the lady with the mower. So I'm not going to talk while she's mowing, or while I walk by. Wow. There's something about that smell, fresh mown grass, something very green. And I don't know if I associate, oh, and there's lilacs, wow. Big chunk of lilacs. There's something about that new mown grass smell, sound of the mower in the distance. Now, for the generation before me, it wasn't the mower in the distance because there was no mower. The lawnmowers were all push mowers, reel-type mowers that had a spinning blade. And I actually used one at one point. Horrible pieces of machinery. I think in part because by the time I got to it, it was old. It was barely working. The blades were dull, and it wasn't doing what it was intended to do, which was to just clip the ends off the grass. It's one of those deals where if you stay on top of it, I think it would probably work pretty well. The momentum of the reel, of the wheels spinning this gear-driven size, would keep pulling the grass against the cutter bar. Helps to keep it all nice and neat. The problem is that you miss a week, miss even a few days, and the grass gets too tall, becomes difficult for the mower to chunk through. But just a few snippy snips of the tops. I think it works pretty well. Now we have our gas-powered mowers and our electricity-powered mowers. I thought about getting an electric mower, but the truth is, I'm so clumsy. I would run over the cord. I would. There's no question about it. And I've got too much lawn to mow. Not having to have a 300-foot electrical cord to plug it in is not my idea of a good time. It's bad enough in the house with a vacuum cleaner. Can't imagine trying to manage that kind of line outside with a spinning blade in wet grass. No, I'll stick with electric. I'll stick with gasoline. I've had a riding mower. I could get the kids to do it. I may buy a riding mower just so I can get the kids to do it. My younger daughter was very interested in learning how to mow the lawn. So I took her out a couple of times, had her mow the lawn. She's been much less interested in it ever since. I'm not quite sure what the charm of it was, other than she got to move this piece of gear around. Actually, it's self-propelled, so it's just a question of holding the handle closed, and off she goes. And you just try to keep up with it and keep it steered in the right direction. But part of it is knowing how to leverage the handle so that you turn it without trying to scrape the wheel sideways, or trying to make sharp right-hand turns to trim around in the corners around the buildings. This was it requires more strength than 12-year-old had. Which wasn't to say that I didn't do it when I was 12. I also didn't do it with a 5-horsepower mower. It was only like 1.5 or some such thing. It was very little motor on a very moderate sized deck, and none of this self-propel, no. It was all flat. We didn't mow the hillsides until we started getting riding mowers. We had 2.5 acres that we mowed all summer long for lawn growing up. That much doesn't get mowed anymore. When I was back home visiting my sister in the spring, I saw how much of that lawn has grown over now. There's barely an acre of grass anymore. Very interesting. We had a riding mower for years, though. It was actually a multi-function little garden tractor that had a mower deck on it. Such a pain in the butt to get the deck on and off, because it weighed so much. All of the little utilities did, but it was a good little machine. It worked well for many years. Kids swinging. One looks like she's swinging. The other one looks like my daughter. Yeah, it does look like there's going to be some sort of weather. Big black clouds off to the southeast. There's more off to the southwest. There's a big cap of diffuse clouds coming down from the northwest, and that does not bode well for the kind of crossing wind that creates rotation here in the flat. Wind out of the northwest, actually. Floor outflow. It's quite a chilly wind. It's 68 degrees, almost 70 degrees, but that wind is got a little bite to it. Low hanging clouds. Oh, that looks like a wall cloud. Off to the southeast. It's off to the southeast, it's going away from us. Stuff that's coming on the north wind is what we need to worry about. At any rate, I made it around. I got the walk in. I'll get it posted in a little bit. And tomorrow is Sunday, and it's another day. I'll talk to you then.